Welcome to the National Bicycle Greenway's Mountain Mover podcast series. Here you will get up close and personal with people who are taking giant steps for the betterment of cyclists and for the planet itself. We have with us here today Dori Clark, a woman who runs an organization in the Boston area called Mass Bike. How are you doing today, Dori?
I'm good, Martin. Thank you.
All right. You come to Mass Bike by way of the world of academia and other accomplishments that I think are going to astound our listeners, principal of which is your involvement with the Howard Dean campaign.
That's right, yes.
What did you do there?
I was the New Hampshire Communications Director.
And New Hampshire was the first primary, is that not correct?
That's right, yes.
Okay, and when the big, huge head of steam was collecting for Howard Dean when he was an unknown, that was, a lot of that was, were you in charge of getting him known about? Were you one of the people that was responsible for getting his name into the headlines?
I certainly tried, yes. Working in New Hampshire, I was responsible for being the primary press conduit for all of the reporters who were based in New Hampshire, as well as any visiting national reporters when they came to New Hampshire to do their reporting.
Hmm. And was New Hampshire pretty much the state where... Did he win that, by the way?
No. Unfortunately, by that point, he had lost in Iowa, and I think that tamped down the momentum a little bit. He finished second in New Hampshire, but I do feel confident that... If things had turned out a little bit differently in Iowa, that he would have won handily in New Hampshire.
And at what point in time did he explode onto the scene? I'm trying to remember that.
Well, probably the first moment when people began to take him really seriously occurred in at the end of June in 2003. Mm-hmm. That was because he was quite unexpectedly the fundraising leader for that quarter, and he raised actually an unprecedented amount. It was nearly $8 million for the quarter, which astonished a lot of the observers.
Was that because he was the first person to come out, candidate to come out against the war?
That certainly helped. The combination of his vocal opposition to the war and also the internet fundraising system that he had set up with small donations made it easy for people to contribute, and that was actually the most noticeable part, was that unlike a lot of the other candidates who were relying on $1,000 checks from corporate lawyers, the vast majority of Dean's money was coming in small donations, you know, $20-$30 from individuals.
And you worked with the fellow who, what was that guy's name that became a commentator on TV, the internet?
Yeah, Joe Trippi.
Joe Trippi.
Manager.
So you worked with him then too, huh?
I did, yes.
Yeah. Huh. And do you still keep tabs with him at all?
You know, I was actually going to see him a week or two ago because, of all things, he was going to be speaking at an animal rights conference in Massachusetts.
Huh.
But it turns out they ended up canceling the conference because the folks who are organizing it, it's an animal shelter group based in Utah called Best Friends. All of their staff was too busy helping animals with the Katrina rescue effort.
Oh, boy. Wow. Okay. Well, all that aside, the reason I'm spending just a few moments here with this Howard Dean stuff is because of the fact that, I'm saying this for the listeners now, that I want to show people out there what kind of powerhouses we've got leading the present-day bike advocacy movement. Are you a PhD, Dori, also?
I am not. I have a master's degree, though.
And that master's is from Harvard.
It is. It's from Harvard Divinity School, Master's of Theological Studies.
Okay, so you were studying to become a priest, or where was that going to take you?
Well, generally, if you are going to become a minister or a priest, you would get a Master's of Divinity.
Mm-hmm.
So mine, the Master of Theological Studies, is a more academically oriented study of religion.
Hmm. Okay. So. Did you expect and or think when you were in degree mode? However, let me back walk back just off of that for a second, because you were in Boston, obviously, at Harvard, studying that, where, what is it, 1 in 10 people are college students?
Something remarkable like that. There are 250,000 college students in the Boston area, so it's a massive contingent.
Out of what? It's the largest concentration of college students in the U.S. Is that not correct?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. And was that? Are you a Boston resident from coming out of the gate? Is that where you're from?
I grew up in North Carolina, actually.
Oh, okay.
To Western Mass for college, and then to the Boston area for graduate school.
I see. I was almost kind of wondering where I was trying to go with that. Was just thinking that you were just getting pushed through the mill, you know, that everyone's in college. So, well, let's pick a major. Might as well stick with divinity. So, but you had there was purposeful beyond that then, huh?
Well, I was always interested in learning a little bit more about politics and culture, and I was actually primarily interested in the intersection of religion and politics.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly being aware of that helps shape one's understanding.
How does that apply to your work now as the director of Mass Bike?
It doesn't apply very directly, I have to confess.
Mm-hmm.
It's useful. Some of the coursework that I did when I was in graduate school, I did take a course in nonprofit management, which was very useful. And principally, I think the common denominator is that I went in wanting to study politics and religion because I was interested in finding ways to change society and improve things. And that's what I've been focusing on here at Mass Bike.
Hmm. And do you feel like you're getting traction in that regard? Are things moving in the way you want them to move?
We're actually making a lot of progress. Within the past year, I would say we've had some very significant developments in Massachusetts. We were able to persuade our local transit agency, the MBTA, to purchase 250 bike racks for buses. We got them to dramatically expand the hours that bikes are allowed on the subway. We got the first bicycle and pedestrian advisory board that the state has had in more than a decade appointed. There's been a great record of progress.
Great. Which kind of brings me to a point. You have zero bike lanes in Boston. According to the biking report card you have on file with us, we show there are zero bike lanes in Boston. Why is that?
Well, Boston, of course, is one of the oldest cities in the U.S., and so the streets are very narrow. There's not a lot of room, unlike places out west where you're based, to construct bike lanes. It's Mass Bike as an organization is very supportive of bike lanes in places where there's sufficient width for safety,
mm-hmm.
But especially in dense urban populations, dooring is always such a concern that the city of Boston has been reluctant, in some cases rightly and in some cases wrongly, to carve out dedicated bike lanes because the roads are just so narrow. It would mean that that bicyclists would be traveling in the door zone. So we, in some places, feel that it's more appropriate to have share the road signs or on pavement markings, things like that. And we're working to try to get more of that out there.
Hmm. I guess probably this is something that should have come up at the front end of things. You don't just cover Boston. You cover, when I see Mass Bike, and I know from talking with you that Mass Bike reflects the greater Boston area. How big of an area do you have jurisdiction over?
We are statewide. We originally began in 1977 as the Boston Area Bicycle Coalition, but in the mid-1990s, we became a statewide group.
Huh. And you don't have a bike coordinator in Boston.
That's right. There used to be a bike coordinator, and that person was actually laid off when they had some budget cuts back in 2003.
So what's going on with that? It seems like the only person that's really kind of... they're really, from what my experience of Boston has been, is but there's really only two agencies really that are kind of taking the lead, and they're nonprofit organizations. There's Steve Miller with the Boston Bike Festival, and you guys. Is that correct?
Well, one thing that it's important to keep in mind is that Steve Miller's effort, he leads the Hub on Wheels Festival, is actually something that, and Steve has worked very hard to cultivate connections inside city government. His co-founder of the Hub on Wheels Bike Festival is a gentleman named Steve Gagg, who is one of the, he's actually the senior technology advisor to Mayor Menino in Boston. So the event had the blessing and the sponsorship of the mayor, and that's really important and necessary in terms of moving it forward and making it a successful annual event. So Steve's group has managed to infiltrate, if you will, city government in some very positive ways. So I think that there are definitely opportunities for growth and a continued relationship.
Mm-hmm. But it just seems like, in the absence of a bike coordinator, that that void is filled by Steve and his group and by you guys. Is that a correct assertion on my part?
I think that's true. I mean, we certainly would like to have a bike coordinator for the city of Boston. That would be a great thing. As a statewide organization, we are not necessarily able to devote the resources to forcing that issue. We have been working with the city of Boston around their constraints, but the primary focus of what MassBike does is that we actually work with the legislature and with state agencies such as Mass Highway, the Department of Conservation and Recreation, and the transit agency, the MBTA.
And then also, according to the file we have in the report, you actually helped us to create for Boston, in the absence of a bike coordinator, 9% of the trips in Boston are done on a bike. Is that correct?
Let's see, 9%. I'm not entirely sure of the exact percentage, Martin, but I know that Boston is ranked 11th nationwide among major cities in terms of the percentage of trips by bicycle.
Huh.
So, in terms of workplace commuting, I know that the number is quite a bit lower than that.
Okay.
But in terms of overall trips, I think that that may be closer to correct.
Now, you said 11th nationwide.
That's correct. Yes.
Wow. Huh. That's noteworthy, indeed. Huh. Where is that source? Where does that statistic come from?
If you hold on for one moment, I can actually look it up for you right now. But we have actually on our website, massbike.org, a list of bicycling fact sheets that we've pulled together, because we always get a lot of questions from people about statistics and about how people get around in Boston. So here we go. The Boston ranking 11th in percentage in bike commuters is from a 2003 study called Bicycle Commuting and Facilities in Major U.S. Cities, which was done by Jennifer Dill and Teresa Carr, who are from UC Davis.
So that's a UC Davis study.
Exactly.
Great. Okay. Let me talk just a little bit about the Big Dig. How does that affect cycling in Boston?
Well, I think it affects bicycling the same way that it affects driving, which is that it makes everything much more complicated. The Big Dig, you know, for the better part of a decade, has confused traffic patterns. You know, they're always closing certain roads and opening new ones and twisting and rooting you around. So, you know, if you wait a week in between visits to the affected neighborhoods, they'll have changed the road patterns. But thankfully, that is winding to a close. The majority of construction has finished for the Big Dig. Now, of course, it's a question of patching the leaks that are in the tunnel. but almost all of the worst is behind us, and now it's the question of taking the holes that are left and actually turning it into a vibrant streetscape, which is an exciting possibility.
Wow. You have not a critical mass there, is that correct? Don't have critical mass bike rides?
There are monthly critical mass bike rides
in the
Boston area.
Do they ever go through the Big Dig?
That's a good question. Mass Bike is not affiliated with them, so I'm not entirely sure about the routes that they take.
But. Right, right. But you guys do have a critical mass in Boston, huh? That
yes.
meets, I guess, monthly. I've never, I've not really heard a lot about that. One last thing I want to talk about is the name Albert Pope. Do you remember who that is?
Did you say Albert Pope?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I'm trying to recall. Can you refresh my memory?
You and I talked about Albert Pope. Albert Pope was the fellow that brought bicycling to America.
That's right. That's right. I do remember a conversation.
Now, do you remember that your town is the home of the first bike club in America?
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's where it all began. It truly is. Yeah. The High Wheel Bikes, the bicycle that his company, the Columbia Bicycle, started in Boston. Copley Square is where they used to have bike clubs that were like three stories tall, and they had showers and bike rooms and billiards rooms and drinking parlors and smoking parlors and very classy, very upscale. And what's Copley Square now? What happens there now?
Well, there's... I wouldn't say it's necessarily as big of a bicycling hub, but it is a terrific place to be.
Huh.
Copley Square now has farmers market every Tuesday and Friday. It's they recently repaved Boylston Street, which goes through it, they made it sort of prettified in time for the Democratic National Convention last summer. So it's a beautiful, smooth street and a nice street to bicycle on these days.
Really? Wow. So, Dory, all your work, now that it's all kind of... How long have you been there, by the way, with Mass Bike?
Just about a year and a half.
A year and a half. In the year and a half that you've been there, probably in the years that led up to that point in time, would you say that as a cyclist in Boston that you're a happy camper? Do you like biking in Boston?
I do. I think that probably the thing that's most irksome to me in a lot of ways is actually bicyclists who don't know or don't follow the rules of the road. It always panics me from a safety perspective, and makes me wish that we were doing an even better job reaching out to them. But this year we began teaching statewide bicycling skills and safety classes, which have reached nearly 100 people, and we're looking to expand it even further in 2006. So we're hoping to spread the message so that when people get out there, they're bicycling responsibly and safely. We think that that'll keep them happier, give bicycling a better reputation among drivers, and make people want to bike more.
All right. Do you work at all much with Maria over at Bikes Not Bombs?
We do some. Bikes Not Bombs, they do great work in terms of teaching urban youth bicycling skills and also sending bicycles to the third world, but they are not principally an advocacy group.
Mm-hmm.
So we call them into pinch hit sometimes when there are measures that are taking place at the State House that are important to bicycling. Hmm. But we're looking to strengthen that relationship even further.
Fantastic. Okay, now I'm going to test your commitment as we wrap up here.
All right.
Are you going to be there when I roll into town in 2007 on my high wheel bike with my team?
Absolutely. I wouldn't miss that, Martin.
Are you going to be with Mass Bike at that point in time?
Well, I certainly hope so. Hard to predict the future, but I know that no matter what, I'll be staying involved and trying to help the cause.
Well, I ask you that, Dory, because you've got so many talents and so many skills, and obviously I'm sure you're going to impress the listeners here. It has an incredibly articulate, brilliant talent, and I just hope that you stay in advocacy work, where I know the pay is the financial pay is not probably anywhere near as high as you can earn elsewhere, but the gratitude pay is probably well worth it for you, on at least on that level. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think we've covered the highlights. I really appreciate your having me, Martin.
All right. Dory, it's been a major treat talking to you. It really has. And I'm sure that it's going to bring Boston a lot closer to the hearts of people that are out there bicycling in other parts of the U.S. And it's going to be a really wonderful feeling for most people to know that you're out there representing us as cyclists, at least in the northeastern part of the United States. So, on that note, I'm going to say thanks for you, Lori. It was great talking to you. You're an absolutely wonderful talent, and I feel blessed for this opportunity.
Thank you, Martin.
All right. Thanks, Dory. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay.
You can contact Dory Clark or just find out more about Mass Bike at massbike.org. That wraps up another edition of the National Bicycle Greenways Mountain Movers podcast series. We hope you enjoyed it. This has been NBG Director and Awake Again author Martin Krieg. For more info about the NBG, go to nationalbicyclegreenway.com. To access this podcast in the future and to hear other shakers and movers that we've interviewed, go to bikeroute.com.